This month of August, we're going through prayer, and last week Pastor Ben brought an awesome message about the Lord's Prayer, that model prayer, and he was telling us one of the main things, right, was that prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. And I thought that was incredible. If you didn't write that down last week, write it down right now. It's so good. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. Everybody say, pray first. Pray first. Man, it was so good. If you missed it, you could check it out on Facebook or the victoryharvest.org. But so it was an awesome message last week. Today we're going to continue with that. Like he was saying, August is our month where we focus on prayer, 21 days of prayer. And again, I want to reiterate that it's in the Spanish church this week. So Iglesia Victoria, if you come tonight, go right next door, right over there. And that's 6 a.m., 6 p.m. every day this week. But some of you guys who didn't raise your hand and haven't been to one of the prayer meetings, you're like, man, what would I pray about for an hour, right? It's an hour long. I thought prayer was just like, thank you for this food. It looks delicious. Amen, right? You know, that's, what else do you pray about? I'm going to tell y'all, almost every single day, or at the end of that hour, and y'all who have been, y'all can tell, like at the end of the hour, you're like, what? It's an hour already? What? Let's keep going, right? Like, let's keep going. It's incredible. And you say, like, what can I pray about for an hour? It's not necessarily the hour of prayer. It's not the time that you spend in prayer, because what we're doing this whole 21 days of prayer, we're not taking up tithes and offerings. This is not for us as a church. This is for y'all. This is because we believe fully that one moment in the presence of God changes everything. It's not about the hour. It's not about the schedule. You just need to get in God's presence. That's what we all need. So that was just the introduction. So to start off the message today, the title of today's message is I'm a Fighter. Can everybody say I'm a Fighter? And I don't normally tell jokes to start off a message, and I definitely don't ever tell Boudreaux jokes, but I'm going to do that today, so I apologize beforehand. You could tell that I never tell Boudreaux jokes, all right? So there was a bully at Boudreaux's work. You guys got some bullies at your work. There was a bully at Boudreaux's work, and he would pick on him all the time, and like just bad. He was a show-off, this bully was, and Boudreaux would go, and he'd pick on Boudreaux all the time. And so one day, he goes up to Boudreaux to pick on him, right, to mess with him. And he had been watching some UFC fights the night before, so he goes to like, you know, show all his posse the moves that he'd been watching the night before. And so he goes up to Boudreaux, sitting at his desk. He goes up to Boudreaux, and he goes, hi-ya! And he hits Boudreaux right in the back of the head. And Boudreaux falls down to the ground. And the bully says, that's a karate chop from China. And Boudreaux doesn't say anything. And he dusts himself off. He keeps himself cool. And he gets back up in his desk. And he's just like, all right, he's not going to lose his temper. He sits back in his desk. But then the bully comes back over to him again. And he picks him up, and he spins him around, and he throws him on the ground. Boudreaux hits the ground again, and the bully says, that's judo from Japan. And Boudreaux, he's hurting a little bit more, right? He dusts himself off, he stands up, he keeps his cool, he goes get back in his desk again, just sitting there. He's not going to say nothing, he's not doing nothing. And then the bully comes up to him one more time. He takes his hand, and he grabs him right between the neck and the shoulder. You pinch that nerve, right? And then, boom, Boudreaux falls down to the ground again. And the bully says, that's a nerve pinch from Korea. And Korea. But Boudreaux stands up again. He dusts himself off. But this time he doesn't go back to his desk. He goes outside. And the bully and his posse are wondering, you know, what's going on. And Boudreaux walks back in with a big old log of wood. And he knocks that bully right upside the head and knocks him out cold. And he sits down at his desk. And Boudreaux turns around to his posse and he says, that's a 2x4 from the Home Depot. All us flood people, we know lots of 2x4s from the Home Depot, right? So, see, it was too good not to share, right? It was too good not to share. But everybody say, I'm a fighter. I'm a fighter. If you have your Bibles with you today, open up to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 17. And today, we're going to look at a story from the life of David that on its face doesn't seem like a story about prayer. And it may even seem to you like it has nothing at all to do with prayer. But as I was reading in my personal devotion time this morning, the words just jumped off of the page to me, and I felt like God saying, this is about prayer, and not just this is about prayer, but this is about Victory's 21 days of prayer, and you need to share this with the church. But the story, it's a story of David, and some of you guys are like, David and Goliath. No, not story about David and Goliath. That is a good story, though. Some of y'all are like, oh, you know, maybe it's the story of David and his mighty men, right? That encourage. No, it's not that story either. This is the story of David and Absalom, which doesn't make it usually into the Sunday school syllabus, right? This is not the encouraging David story. It's the story of David and Absalom. And Absalom is one of David's sons. And David had a lot of wives, which meant he had a lot of sons. But then that also meant that he didn't necessarily watch over all of his kids the best. He wasn't the best father in all the cases. The Bible's real about that. It tells us, you know, that David wasn't necessarily the best father. But the story goes that Absalom, when he got older, he began to rebel against David. And he wanted to usurp and take the throne from David. And what he would do, the Bible tells us that Absalom would sit at the gate of the palace, sit at the gate of the kingdom, of the the castle, palace, whatever you want to call it. And as people would come and bring their complaints to the king, they bring their cases to the king and have him judge for them, it says Absalom would sit there at the gate, and he said he would kiss the people, and he would tell them, if I was king, I would do a better job. Oh, is that what David told you to do? If I was in charge, I wouldn't be doing that. And historians think this is actually where the Facebook comment thread was first born, right? Some of y'all getting convicted in here, right? Oh my goodness. We hadn't even got started yet. No, but so he would sit there and he would tell, if I was king, I would do a better job. And it says that over time he won the hearts of the people of Israel. He won the hearts of the people of Israel enough to where he had a big enough army, and he came into the city of Jerusalem, and he scared off David, who is the mightiest warrior in the history of Israel, who has a band of mighty warriors who have killed thousands and thousands. He has big enough of a following in Israel that it scares David off, scares him to where he runs out of the city, and he goes and he's hiding in caves in the countryside of Israel. He's gone, he's hiding, he's afraid for his life that Absalom, his son, will come and kill him. Now, some of you guys might see that Absalom character, right, sitting at the gate, and it's just kind of a side note, I felt like the Lord was saying, but sometimes when we're bringing our complaints to the king, when we're bringing our case, when we're bringing our prayers, our requests, sometimes the devil is there just like Absalom. These 21 days of prayer, as we're bringing our requests and we're hearing God give us words, and we're hearing God say, you know, maybe it's not the right time for, you know, this relationship. Maybe it's not the right time. Maybe you should wait. Maybe this is a no and that's best for you. And the devil's like, did God really say that to you? But what I want us to see from the story is that David was the true king. And God is our true king. So check this out. As David has run off and he's living in a cave, he kind of has a plan, and he sends one of his friends, whose name is Hushai. And what Hushai does is he goes to be one of the counselors in the noble council, or whatever you want to call it, the king. And Hushai is there to do two things. The first thing he's there to do is he's there to spy and kind of see what's going on and report back to David. But the second thing, the main thing that he's there to do is he's there to undercut whatever the other advisors say. And there's another main advisor there whose name is Ahithophel. And what Ahithophel, y'all are like, so you like pregnant people in here, you're like, ooh, that's a good name. Write that down, right? Ahithophel Pearson, right? There we go. That's good. Ahithophel Hushai, and then there you go, you're good. But Ahithophel tells Absalom, he says, now is the time to strike. You've got David on the run. He's scared. He's hiding in a cave. Now is the time to go. Now is the time to strike him. And what I love and what we're going to pick up with this is Hushai's response and his reply to Absalom. And when we say that idea of how he's there to undercut what the other council says, it doesn't take away from the truth of what Hushai says. And that's the most amazing thing about this, is that Hushai says something to the council that is so true, that's so ingrained in their minds and in their experience that they know it is so true, that the entire council says what Hushai said is right, what Ahithophel said is wrong. And that's where we're going to pick up in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. Hushai replied to Absalom, "The advice Ahithophel has given is not good this time. You know your father and his men, and they are fighters." Can everybody say fighters? "They are fighters and as fierce as a wild bear robbed of her cubs." Hashtag mama bear. There we go, right? "They're fighters and as fierce as a wild bear robbed of her cubs. Besides, your father is an experienced fighter. He will not spend the night with the troops. Even now he's hidden in a cave or some other place. If he should attack your troops first, whoever hears about it will say there's been a slaughter among the troops who follow Absalom. Then even the bravest soldier whose heart is like the heart of a lion will melt with fear." And here's the verse I want us to key in on. "For all Israel knows that your father is a fighter and that those with him are brave." Everybody say, "I'm a fighter." Now look at this. In this scripture, it says, "All of Israel knows that your father is a fighter." Now, normally in the Bible, when it talks about all Israel, it's saying it in like a good way. All of God's people, yes. In this verse, it's saying, you know, Israel has all turned against David. So when it says, "All of Israel knows that your father is a fighter," what they're saying is, every one of David's enemies knows that he's a fighter. Every one of his enemies knows that he is a fighter. What I want us to do today as a church, as Victory Harvest, during these 21 days of prayer, is I want us to be starting the day, ending the day, on our knees, declaring to the powers of the realm of darkness, to the devil and all of his cronies, that we are fighters. Yes, give God some glory. Victory Harvest is full of fighters, and that's what I want us to do today, is I want us to start our fight. Because prayer is a fight. It's a struggle. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And that's the thing, is that there's a big misconception about prayer outside of the church. And I feel like it kind of seeps into the church. That prayer is just meditation, right? The Hindus have it, and, you know, like, there's even, like, the hippie people today, the mindfulness. You guys are mindfulness and meditation and all that kind of stuff. Prayer is just the Christianese type of meditation, right? You're sitting there, you meditate on God's goodness, you think of fields and daisies and flowers, and just you're sitting there, and you try to, like, clear your mind. It's basically just meditation where you say amen at the end, right? We're all kind of, it's meditation, and then you say, in Jesus' name, amen. But this is what I want us to look at today, is that prayer is not meditation, it's activation. Prayer is not meditation, it's activation. Prayer is not when we clear our minds of the world that's been going on around us. Prayer is not when we just zone out. That's when you sit on your lazy boy and watch Monday Night Football. That's not prayer. Prayer is not meditation. Prayer is activation. A lot of times, because we see people sitting still on their knees, we see people, you know, not moving much during prayer, being quiet, we think that not much is going on, but no. Prayer is something that's active, and it does two things. It's activation. Number one, prayer activates faith inside of us. Prayer activates the faith that's inside of us. There's something about when you get down on your knees and you say to the God in heaven, "God, there's absolutely nothing I can do about this situation." That activates some faith inside of you. Because when you admit to yourself and to God that there's nothing you can do about your situation, you better believe that there's somebody who can do something about that situation. Faith activates, prayer activates the faith inside of us, and it's our faith that moves mountains. Why wouldn't we want that active? Why wouldn't we want to activate that mountain moving power inside of us? Jesus said it just takes faith the size of a mustard seed. This big. That's all the faith you need to move Mount Driscoll, right? That's, some of y'all can believe that. Maybe not Mount Everest, but Louisiana's mountain. We know we can move that one, right? Prayer activates the faith inside of us. And the second thing is this, is that prayer activates God's compassion. God's always, some of y'all are like, I don't know about that. God's always compassionate. Don't get me wrong. But he's given us prayer for a reason. And if you look at stories of prayer in the Bible over and over and over again, yes, God is compassionate, but it's the prayer of his people that makes that compassion into action. It activates God's compassion. Over and over and over again, you can look at stories in the Bible where Hannah was infertile for years and years and years and years, but it was when she prayed that God gave her a baby. Peter was in prison. Peter was in prison, and when did God send the angel? It was when the church prayed. Yes, God wanted to get Peter out of prison, but he was just, that compassion was waiting for some activation. Hezekiah prayed when Jerusalem was surrounded. It was under siege. And it says that very night an angel came and killed 85,000 of the troops that were surrounding the city because Hezekiah prayed. Jairus went to Jesus to heal his daughter. He asked Jesus, are you telling me that it's not God's will to heal that daughter? Yes, it's always God's will to heal that daughter. But it was when Jairus approached Jesus that the healing came. Moses asked to see God. Daniel prayed for the king's dream to be interpreted. The Israelite slaves in Egypt prayed for deliverance over and over and over again. Peter prayed for the healing of a dead woman and she was raised. And more than that, there's so many more examples of people here in this church, in this room right now, who have examples of when God has answered their prayers. That's right. Clap if you believe it. Clap it. And this is the question I want to ask you today, in light of what the Bible says, in light of all these testimonies, is are you in some kind of prison today like Peter? Are you surrounded how Hezekiah was? Something in your life surrounding you? Are you like Peter with that dead woman? Is there something dead in your life that needs some resurrection? It's not the goodness of God that is failing. It's just that we're not praying and activating that compassion. We're not using the method that God has given us to activate his compassion on the world. God has put us on this world for a reason, and it's to make a difference. And prayer is one of those ways we do it. Why do we need activation? Why does God have this plan for us? Here's another thing that I want us to look at. The first thing, prayer is not meditation, it's activation. Why do we need that activation? The second thing is this, because the devil is real and he has plans for you. Somebody say that explains some Baton Rouge traffic, right? There we go. Look, some people think the devil lives in hell. He's somewhere on I-12 and I-10. Like, he's just between 2 and 8 o'clock, right? Just, that's rush hour, you know? But now, I say, why is this? Why you gotta talk about that? Why you gotta bring the devil into this, right? Why you gotta talk about that? We were having fun. Why you gotta talk about the devil? Jesus talked about hell and the devil more than almost anybody else in the Bible. And I'm bringing this up as a point because we're in church. I'd be preaching to the choir if I talked about God and his plans for you. We all know God's real. I think so, right? We all know God. Yeah, amen. Where we at? All know, okay. We all know that God has plans for us, right? Amen. Yes, we're all there. But nobody sees the verses from the Bible about the devil's schemes on the graduation cards, right? You see the plans. You see the verses about God's plans at the graduation cards, right? I know the plans I have for you. He's like, congratulations, Bobby. You made it through 12th grade. Way to go. Beware of your enemy, the devil. He's a prowling lion looking for someone to devour. That might be just as helpful, you know, right? The devil is prowling around your dorm room right now, Bobby, right? Some of your parents got some kids going to college next week. You're like, I'm writing this down. This is good. But there's verses in the Bible about the devil and his plans for you. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And check this out. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The devil's at work. He doesn't like this right now. He doesn't like the 21 days of prayer. And I'm going to testify to that because at like 5:30 in the morning, man, the devil's doing his best to keep me in bed, right? It's either the devil or just me. Like, I don't want to get up at 5:30. But the devil's got schemes. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. God's got his plans for you, but the devil has his plans for you too. John chapter 10 verse 10. What are the devil's schemes? John chapter 10 verse 10, one of my favorite verses. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you'd have life and have it more abundantly. Have it to the full. My hope for us as a church today, this morning, is that we see that prayer is not meditation. It's not something passive. It's activation. And we need that activation to stand against the devil's schemes for our lives, our families' lives, for the people at our work, the people in our church. We need to stand against the devil's schemes that take our prayer to a whole nother level. We need to take our prayer to a whole nother level today. Now, if you believe in God, and you believe in his plans for you, if you believe in the devil, and you believe the Bible, that the Bible says the devil is real and he's got plans for you too, one of the biggest mistakes you can make would be to not pray. Some of you guys are like, look, I got Jesus, right? I accepted Jesus, got my fire insurance, I'm good, I'm straight. Just saying, right? Some of you are like, I got my fire insurance. I'm good. I'm going to coast into the pearly gates, right? August 2016, we were doing a whole different kind of coasting, right? We were riding them wildlife and fishery boats, you know, away from the house. It was a different kind of coasting. Like, if you think you're going to coast, you're going to get a whole different kind of coasting, right? Because the devil's got schemes for you. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. I'm going to read it again. I have a different translation, but I'm going to read both of these translations. NIV of 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our struggle. Everybody say the struggle is real, right? Struggle's real. But I like this translation from the NLT. It says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Anybody who fought with your spouse this morning, say amen, right? Just hallelujah that our struggle is not against our husband. It's not against our... I want to encourage you. I'm serious. Y'all think it's funny. When you fight with your spouse, when you fight with your coworker, I want you to be encouraged by this fact. Because, look, the devil wants you to think that your fight is against your husband or your wife. The devil wants you to think that your fight is against that annoying coworker of yours. Have you ever thought that maybe you're the annoying coworker? I'm going to go hide in the back after nobody come talk to me. I'm sorry. But if our struggle is not against our husband, it's not against our wife, it's not against our kids, it's not against our coworkers, it changes the way we think. It changes the way we think. Because if my husband, my enemy, my husband, my wife is not the enemy right now, my coworker is not the enemy, my kids are not the enemy, I know who the real enemy is. And exactly what he wants to do is he wants me fighting against my husband, my wife, my kids, my coworkers, the people at church. He wants me fighting against the people that are sitting in the Baton Rouge traffic with me. He wants me fighting with everybody. He wants me fighting with the people who are made in the image of God, who God wants to save and redeem and bring into his kingdom. What we need to realize today, when we pray, when we get down and we fight, that your fight is not against flesh and blood. But it is a fight, and it takes fighters. Prayer is a fight, and it takes fighters. Everybody say, I'm a fighter. Now, I talked about my wife a little bit today, but me and my wife, we love each other. We have three kids, right? Amen. And what that means is my wife has given birth to three beautiful babies. All the husbands and the dads in here say, amen, I never have to do that, right? Hallelujah, never have to give birth. But one of the times that we were in the hospital, and just forgive me, I don't, baby two, baby three, she doesn't even know what the story I'm telling, but I was like, you know, we have an important role as husbands, right? You know, we're the moral support, which is almost as hard as the actual delivery, right? It's... Again, I'm going to go walk back there afterwards. It's just, you know, normally you talk to the pastor after. No, not today. But in all my moral support, I got hungry, right? Just looking over her doing all that pushing just got me all just exhausted, right? And you know they can't eat, so it's like somebody's got to do the eating, right? So... I wouldn't be doing my due diligence if I didn't go eat for the two of us right now. So I went down to the women's hospital cafeteria, which is ballin', by the way. Oh, my goodness. It's so good. I filled up my tray, and, like, I was eating like I was eating for the two of us. For the three of us. For the baby, too. Like, I just got the chicken. I had, like, four entrees and, like, six sides. And I was just, like, I was piling up because I didn't know when I was going to eat again, you know. Just, like. All the moms in here just like, boy, I'm going to get it when I get home. And so check this out. I go back up to the room after I've eaten, you know, and she's just still, you know, sitting in the bed. You can't get comfortable. And she's, again, I got so tired, I fell asleep, you know. I was just like, I had that full belly, you know, and I'd given all that moral support already. And I check this out. I tell the story because where it's going is I wake up from my slumber, my blessed slumber. I had all that grease from the chick, everything just stewing up in my stomach. I wake up and I look over at Jennifer. She's, you know, just got, you know, she's uncomfortable and like, no, another contraction came and oh, it's hurting so bad. And I feel all that grease up in my stomach. And I look over at my wife and I said, probably the smartest thing I've ever said in my life. I look over and I'm like, baby, I don't feel good. And I didn't get, I really don't feel good. How many of you guys know we serve a God of miracles that I'm standing before you here today, right? I wasn't acting like a fighter, right? Jen was doing all the fighting for, I wasn't really feeling like a fighter. And the reason I tell that story is because maybe there's some of us in here today and you're hearing all the talk about being a fighter and all of a sudden, and you look at me, I don't feel like a fighter. Like, yeah, you say David and like, oh, that's one thing. He's a Bible character, right? Killed a giant. But I don't feel like a fighter. You say that we're fighters and I'm saying it because you're telling me to, but I don't feel like a fighter. How am I a fighter? How do you become a fighter? I guess that's the question I want to look at. How do you become a fighter if you don't feel like one, if you don't think you are one? How do you become a fighter? The good news is the answer is not some, I'm not recommending a book to you. It's not a 12-step course on how to become a fighter. It's not some long, drawn-out progression that you have to wait for test results and all this. Like, if you want to become a fighter, the answer is really simple, and it's a one step. Start fighting. That's the only, you can look it up in the dictionary. The only difference between a fighter and someone who's not a fighter is whether or not they'll fight. How do you become a fighter? It's easy. Start fighting. Some of you guys are like, look, 21 days of prayer is day 8. I can't jump in like midway, right? It's day 8. There's no shame in today being your day 1. There's no shame. Nobody's going to judge you. Nobody's going to be, look, we have a different crowd almost every day. Nobody's going, hey, is this your day 1? Like nobody, no one's asking that. Nobody's asking that. There's no shame in today being your day one. What I want us to do today, is, man, if you haven't started fighting, if you haven't taken part in 21 days of prayer, like I said, we're not taking up money. It's not for us. We do this so you can get in the presence of God and fight your battles this morning. That's what we do it for. And when I was younger, I got to confess a little bit, but when I was younger, I played video games like all the time. I'm sorry. I played video games. But the awesome thing is I'm a youth pastor now, so I still get to play video games, right? Jen sees me in the living room like, it's research, baby. I'm doing research, right? It's continuing education for a youth pastor, right? But when I was younger, there was the thing that was really popular was World War II games. Like, you know, you're winning World War II. Like, y'all should thank me because I've defeated the Nazis and won World War II like at least 100 times, right? So if there was like a video game military discount at McDonald's, like somebody let me know because like I've won World War II over and over and over again. But when I was younger, that was the big thing was World War II games. And the big thing was, you know, if you were younger and you weren't as good at the game, there was a thing called cheat codes. It's okay. It's part of the game, okay? It's not as impressive that I've won World War II now, right? It's no big deal. But there was these cheat codes, and there was this one that was the biggest deal, I guess. And the cheat code was the invincibility cheat code. The invincibility cheat code. And when you have the invincibility cheat code, it's for those of you guys who don't know what video games are, it's, you know, you're in World War II, right? And when you put this invincibility cheat code on, they could shoot you and nothing would happen. They could throw a grenade and nothing happens. It was like having this big invisible shield, this perfect shield all around you at all times. How many of you guys know that when I had the invincibility cheat code on, it changed the way I played the game? Like before, I'd be hiding behind, you know, hiding behind some walls, peeking out. Oh, is it safe? No, it's not safe. Is it safe? No, it's not safe. But when I got the invincibility cheat code, what do I do? What's up? It doesn't matter how many people there are. It doesn't matter how many enemies, how big their guns are. I'm invincible. I got the invincibility. It changed the way that I played the game. I had this invisible shield all around me. Now check this out. Do y'all remember? I gotta bring it back to Jesus. Do y'all remember how God, you're like, video games, stop talking, okay? No. Do y'all remember how God introduced himself to Abraham when he comes to make his covenant with him? We have Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. And he said, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. I'm your shield. Now listen, how could David be in a cave hiding from his son who wanted to kill him and still be called a fighter? Y'all want to know one of the names for God that David has, and that it's one of the most popular names that David, that he uses the most when he talks about God? This fighter David, this mighty warrior, the mightiest warrior in the entire Bible, over 20 times in the Bible, he says how the Lord is his shield. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. Psalm 28, 7, you are my strength and shield. Psalm 91, verse 4, your faithfulness will be his faithfulness will be your shield. Psalm 140, verse 7. You shield my head in the day of battle. Psalm 84, verse 11. The Lord is a sun and shield. Psalm 18, 35. You make your saving help my shield. Psalm 119, verse 114. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Psalm 144, verse 2. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield. In him I will take refuge. How do you get to be a fighter today? You put on your shield. This is one of the most mightiest warriors in the Bible. How is he such a fighter? Because in his head, in his heart, a foundational truth to his life is the fact that the Lord is his shield. I'm asked the band to come back up today. And this is what I want us to just take hold of today. If you don't get anything else from today, take hold of the fact that God is your shield. Y'all know what that invincibility code was called? If some of you got, maybe like the older people like me, that invincibility cheat code whenever you play the games and like nothing, they'd shoot you and nothing. You know what it was called? It's called God mode. I'm not making it up, y'all. Some of y'all might have heard of beast mode before, but y'all have never heard of God mode, right? That's what I want us to do today is let's put on our God mode, right? Let's say God is our shield. Let's put God on as our shield and let it change the way that you play the game. Now, throughout this whole series of prayer, this month of August, we're going to be going over what it means to pray. We're going to be going over, the models of prayer. Like Pastor Ben brought last week, that word, it was incredible about the model of prayer. If you haven't listened to it or watched it, go back on Facebook. It was incredible. Throughout this whole month of August, we're going to be looking at what it means to pray. We're going to be looking at ways to pray, things to pray about. We're giving you all sorts of resources, all sorts of wisdom pouring out on you. But it would be such a shame if we came up here and we poured out and gave all the wisdom and everything and we didn't do anything with it. It'd be a shame if you walked out these doors and there was a perfect shield and you hadn't put it on. It would be the worst mistake you can make to send your kids out to school without them putting their shield on. It would be the worst mistake you could make going to work with that coworker and not have your shield on. I want us today to let's let our shield change the way that we play the game. And I mean that. For that person who's brought that prayer request, God, I've seen a cancer diagnosis, but God, you're my shield and I'm a fighter today. God, I may have a son or a daughter who's far from you and I don't know if they'll ever come back, but God, you're my shield and I'm a fighter. God, I've fallen into this addiction, I've fallen into this sin, and it doesn't look like there's any way out, and the devil keeps telling me that there's no way I can break through it, but God, you're my shield and I'm a fighter. Come on, y'all, give God a big clap today. He's our shield. He's our perfect shield. He's our perfect shield. Y'all know those warriors when they go into battle and they've got a shield, you know, before every single battle, what were they doing? Checking their shield. Checking every little part. Is there a weak spot here? Okay, I'm gonna put a little more whatever here. A little fix it up. Every single time before they went into battle, they would inspect their shield, make sure that it was just right. Y'all, we have a shield that has no weak spots. We got a perfect shield. Listen, the devil may think he's got you on the run like David was in the cave. The devil may think he's got you on the run. Circumstances may have you hiding in a cave. But I want you to know today that it doesn't matter. Because God doesn't see you the way you are. God sees you the way that he knows you could be. When he came to Gideon, he called him mighty warrior. What was he doing? He was hiding his food so the big bad Midianites wouldn't steal it from him. He was scared. And when God said to him, mighty warrior, he's like, I'm the least of the least. It's in the Bible. Read it. Moses was a stuttering murderer who smelled like sheep. His greatest weapon, he had a stick, right? And God called him to lead 4 million slaves away from the most powerful kingdom in the world. And both of them, when God called them to fight, you know what their response was? It was the exact same thing. Look it up. He said, who am I? You may be asking this one, who am I? God doesn't want to just say, oh, you're great. You're phenomenal. You'll get better. That's not what God's saying. You know what God said to Moses and Gideon? He said the exact same thing. Again, look it up in the Bible. He said to Moses, he said to Gideon, and he said through Jesus, one of the last things that Jesus said before he went up to heaven, his word to the church was the same thing that God said to Moses and Gideon. He didn't say, look, you're going to get better. Just keep trying harder. Do you know what he said? I am with you. I will be with you. Your shield is with you. Your shield will be with you. Our shield is with us, and he never leaves us, and he never forsakes us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why do we fight? Because Jesus was the ultimate fighter who fought sin and grave for you and me, and he overcame. Yes, give God some glory. Thank you, Jesus, that he loved us enough to fight for us. Let it not be said of us that our children, that we didn't love them enough to fight for them. Let it not be said of us, of the world that's around us, our family, our husband, our wife, our co-workers, of people in our church, the people sitting on your row right now, that you didn't love them enough to fight for them. Because when Jesus looked at you, he loved you enough to fight for you. He prayed for us over and over and over again. And when it came, when push came to shove, he didn't just pray. Then he took the nails, he took the cross, and he didn't die on the cross for no reason. He did it for you and me. He did it to pay for our sins so we could have new life, new purpose, and so we could do like Paul the Apostle says. He died on the cross so we could have new life, new purpose, and fight the good fight. Everybody in here today, say, I'm a fighter. This is what I want us to do. Everybody, you can stand up wherever you're at. We're going to have a time of response and worship. But before we get to the music, I want to give everybody an opportunity. Wherever you're at, just close your eyes, bow your head. There's nobody going to be looking around. If you came in here today and you want that new life that Jesus offers, you have never heard about how Jesus fought for you. You want the new life. You want the new opportunity. You want that chance to begin again, have your sins forgiven, to be walking in his purpose and fight the good fight. If you want that, Jesus offers you new life. It says, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Some of y'all in here are hungry for that this morning. If you want that new beginning, you want Jesus in your life, you want your sins forgiven, nobody's looking around, nobody's going to judge you. I just want you to throw your hand up wherever you're at. We're going to pray. We're going to pray wherever you're at. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Awesome. I see that hand. Anybody else? Awesome, y'all. This is what we're going to do. Everybody, I want y'all to pray this prayer out loud. If you're saved, man, awesome. These words are true. If you raised your hand, these words are true. It's not the words that save you. It's the heart behind it. It's the God you're praying to that saves you. So I want everybody to pray this prayer out loud and help out the ones who raised their hand. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for fighting for me. God, when I was in my sin and I didn't deserve you, you came and fought for me. You died for me. You take my place. You paid for my sins. And you gave me your life. So today I take your life. I take the life you offer me. And I say, you're Lord of my life. Lead me. Guide me. And help me to fight the good fight. In Jesus' name. Amen. You guys give it up for the two who raised their hands this morning, right? This is why we pray. This is why we pray. Y'all, the band is going to sing this song, and it's a new song, but man, it's so good. And it's about how prayer and praise are the weapons that we fight our battle with. Come on, let's lift up our song and praise Jesus today.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by
you.
That's
our shield this morning surrounding us.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles.
Come on, lift up a shout of praise.
Oh, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. How I fight my battles.
Well, the devil may think he's got you on the run. It may look like you're surrounded. Come on.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how we fight our battles. Come on.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Oh, this is how I fight my battles.
Come on, lift it up.
Oh, this is how I fight my battles.
We're declaring to the enemy today that we're fighters in Victory Harvest Church.
This is how I fight my battles.
We lift up our hearts to you, Jesus. Come on.
Oh, this is how I fight my battles.
I want to say today, the book of 2 Kings, it talks about Elisha, and he's surrounded in the city. And his servant comes up and says, God, what are we going to do? They outnumber us so bad. And what does Elisha do?
Praise.
And what happens when he prays? The eyes of his servant are open. And what does he see? Elijah says, come on, tell me what you see now. I'm asking all this morning, what do you see now? We're surrounded, but we're not surrounded by the enemy. We're surrounded by God and His angels, His forces. We're surrounded by our shield this morning. Come on, sing it out. Say, it may look like I'm surrounded. Say, it may look. Come on.
Oh, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, God. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Oh, this is how I fight my battles. Yeah, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
This is how I fight my battles.
Oh, Jesus. Lord God, we just thank you for who you are today, God. God, we thank you that you're our shield. You're our very great reward. God, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that when we come today, when we leave this house today, we're not worried about our own strength. We're not worried about our own energy, our own stamina, our own ability to get through the day. God, we're not worried about our own perfection. But God, our mind is on how perfect our shield is. And God, let us leave today. Let us leave today with the objective, with the goal, with the vision for our week, for these remaining 14 days of prayer, that we will be declaring to the enemy that we're fighters. That if he has plans to come and attack our husband, our wife, he has plans to come attack our children, he has plans to come attack our coworkers, our church, our friends, our... If the devil has plans to attack our world, that he would look at us at Victory Harvest Church and say, whoa, they're fighters. Jesus, give us boldness, how David had boldness not of his own, but boldness because of his shield. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys, you've got a big clap this morning, huh? Amen, amen, awesome.